Scripture lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 23 to 28. When you heard the voice of the darkness, out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, all the leading men of your tribes and your elders came to me, and you said, "The Lord our God has shown us his glory and his majesty, and we have heard his voice from the fire. Today we have seen that a man can live even if God speaks with him. But now, why should we die? This great fire will consume us, and we will die if we hear the voice of the Lord our God any longer. For what mortal man has ever heard the voice of the living God speaking out of fire as we have and survived? Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you. We will listen and obey. The Lord heard you when you spoke to me, and the Lord said to me, 'I have heard what this people said to you. Everything they said was good.'"
You may be seated, dears. May God add his blessing to that fine reading. Keep in mind that just last week we finished the last five commandments of the Decalogue, and now we're in the aftermath of that with these words that we just read here out of Deuteronomy 5. It is a vivid model for us, these texts, as a type of Christ, who is Moses, in his mediatorial role as intercessor between the living God and the flock of the pasture of the church of that time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that everything in life with you is about mediation. No one comes to you, God the Father, except through a mediator. And we come to you right now in the same form, through the mediation of Jesus, the person of Christ, whose life and death and the virtues thereof have been imputed to us, the church, for our own righteousness. So we possess now an alien but perfect righteousness of Jesus, for which we are thankful. And now, Father, having this free access to you, we ask you to fill our hearts with joy and peace and fullness of your Spirit as we hear and preach this word tonight, this gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the great bridge or connector between the holy God and sinful men. Moses served as a prefigurement of this Messiah, inasmuch as he also was a great provisional go-between between the Lord God and Old Covenant Israel. It's intriguing that even in the Old Covenant, when the people heard God's voice, their immediate reaction was to run to a man, a human, who would intervene for them. Very interesting. Hear God's voice, they run to a man. Moses, a type of Christ. This is a vivid portrait of the gospel, for we also ran to a man, the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 6, 18b through 20a. We have strong consolation, we who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. He is our mediator. There are two precious principal factors in tonight's passage that compel us to find our refuge in our Savior, and we'll study them shortly. Let us make it our goal this evening, therefore, to flee to our Heavenly Father through the merits of Christ. We're going to study, as you know, Deuteronomy 5, 23 through 28. Let's do that now. The mediation of Christ, verses 23 through 25. The glory of God drives us to Jesus. God's glory in the Bible connotes a lot of things, usually very wonderful things and positive things. His majestic splendor in heaven, the heaviness of his weight, the wonder of his being. But sometimes we have to recognize that the glory of God can be a cause of terror as well. There isn't a mediator, if there isn't an intercessor, if there isn't a go-between, it's very scary. And this is because of our unworthiness and pollution as fallen sinners in Adam. Even if we are not as vile as we could be, it's still extraordinarily scary. Think about it in this regard, the great prophet Isaiah, very holy man, if you will, Isaiah 6:5. "Woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." It wiped him clean. The glory of God drives us to Jesus, verse 23, because we are afraid in our sin. So it was, when you heard the voice from the midst of the darkness while the mountain was burning with fire, that you came near to me, all the heads of your tribes and your elders. Sinners are afraid. The people you'll see tomorrow, work with, see on the street, rub shoulders with, average people, they are afraid of God, rightly so. They suppress the knowledge of the truth of God and pretend that he doesn't exist, or seek to make him in their own image, idolatry, and have one that grades on a curve. But the reality is God does exist, and all sinners are afraid of him, rightly so. It's a natural reaction. And don't miss the reaction here to the people and the leaders after hearing the voice of the Word of God and the law of God. What do? They run straight to Moses. How interesting is that? That's profound. Why did they not bolt to their own tents and pray directly to God in their great fear? Why didn't they say, oh, let's get in little huddles and just find God and pray to him? Because they instinctively knew, as creatures created in the image of God, yet fallen, that they had to have a mediator, and we know the same thing as well. When God is at work in the lives of people, the law scares them and us because it exposes our hearts as sinful and worthy of condemnation. This is one of the reasons Jesus is so precious to us as our mediator. Listen to the words of Hebrews 7:25. Christ is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. The glory of God drives us to Jesus because we are afraid in our sin. Now verse 24, because we are amazed by the Lord's grace. And you said, surely the Lord our God has shown us his glory and his greatness, and we have heard his voice from the midst of the fire. We have seen this day that God speaks with man, yet he still lives. They were amazed that God would speak to men and yet live. And this was also because of mediation. Moses is a type. The Israelites must have felt a bit like those who emerge from a storm shelter after a tornado has come by and wiped everything out. After experiencing the voice of God and the accompanying fire, the darkness, the quaking of the earth, they must have been pretty impressed by the fact that they were still alive at all, still standing. It's a graphic picture of the Lord's great grace and mercy to us, his church. We sing wonderful Christian hymns like Amazing Grace and Can It Be That I Should Gain. These are all marvelous testimonies of the Lord's mercy to us unworthy sinners. Even greater than these, however, are the statements of Scripture, one of which is John 1:17, which finds Jesus, well, actually finds John writing, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Briefly note with me three aspects that do amaze us from verse 24. One, the glory and greatness of God. What can be more glorious than a God that loves sinners? Second, the hearing of the gospel, verse 24b. It's a privilege to hear it, and it has a purifying effect. And fire is mentioned. Fire is a purifying term in the Scripture. And thirdly, the very life-giving nature of the gospel, verse 24c, we heard it and we still live. Jesus would say in John 10:10 that he came to bring us not just life, but abundant life. He came and spoke to us. The glory of God drives us to Jesus because we're afraid in our sin, amazed by the Lord's grace, verse 25, because we are afflicted by our depravity. We read these words, now, therefore, why should we die? For this great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, then we shall die. They're just overwhelmed. Can't take this voice of God thing. Moses is not a perfect mediator. He's provisionally provided the protection for a while, but it's still coming. They're afraid. It's an interesting verse because we find here typical unbelief following on the very heels of something wonderful which God had just done. The Lord had shown them that they could hear his voice and live so long as there was a mediator. Now they're certain that if they continue to hear him, they'll die. This is partly our fleshly depravity in this life. we see God do wonderful things, we experience great things, and what do? We turn around and we're doubtful, we're faithless, we're tired, we're weary, we're exhausted, we aren't engaged. And this kind of thing is an affliction of our depravity, our fallen nature, our sin. God is gracious to us in overcoming our flesh. Our fleshly depravity is always a problem and a burden for us. But there is a sense in which, even in this verse 25, that the people were right in their talk about death. They're saying, man, if we hear this voice of God anymore, we're going to die. Well, think of it this way. If they were to hear God's law without the covering of Jesus' righteousness protecting them, they're right. They will surely die, and so will we, if we do not have that blessed Redeemer shielding us and providing us his righteousness and clothing us in it. Same is true for us. The glory of God drives us to Jesus. Now verses 26 through 28, the love of God drives us to Jesus. Glory can be a magnet or a repelling agent, depending on the state of our hearts before God. Love, on the other hand, is the Lord's greatest attribute, 1 Corinthians 13:13, 1 John 4:8. And love always draws us, God's redeemed children, to our Father in heaven through Jesus, his Son. Let's consider verses 26 through 28. Verse 26, the Lord's special grace is upon us. We read these words, for who is there of all flesh who has heard the voice of the living God speaking from the midst of the fire as we have and lived? The Israelites here are asking some pretty good questions. This is a very legitimate query to make. Who is it that's heard this and yet lived? About the only other person we might think of up to that point was Moses, who heard the Lord speak from the burning bush in Exodus 3:4 and following. If God had appeared, for instance, to the Canaanites in this way, who were in the land in this fashion, they would have been immediately burned to a crisp. So let's ask ourselves a very intriguing, profound question. What made the difference? Why was it that the Israelites, who were notorious sinners, rebels, and hard-hearted, stiff-necked people, were not consumed, were not wiped out, and a Canaanite or an unbeliever of that nature, any pagan person, would have been? What was the difference? The difference was the covenant God had made with the Israelites, with the three fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in particular, which was signed by circumcision. So even though they weren't necessarily even regenerate, many cases, as you know, their bodies fell in the wilderness, they nonetheless had the sign of the covenant, like we have in baptism today, applied to boys and girls, men and women. And that is a special covenantal federal protection and blessing. All of that would point to Jesus, his shed blood and righteousness, which God now has finally and completely fulfilled and shown to us in the new covenant in his blood. The fact that God's people lived, in verse 26, after hearing his voice, was the result of the Lord's making a distinction between his church and the world. Remember, if there are some pagans around there, around that mountain, Mount Sinai, and hearing the thunder, the word of God, and the law, they would have just been evaporated. God chooses his own sheep. The Bible calls this activity divine election. You can read about it in the New Testament, Romans 9, verse 11, many other places. How about this text from Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8a? For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people. For you were the least of all people, but because the Lord loves you. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 8a. The Lord's special grace is upon us. Now let's look at verse 27. The Lord's intercessory grace is with us. You go near and hear all that the Lord our God may say, and tell us all that the Lord our God says to you, and we will hear and do it. Ah, there it is again. mediation, intercession, a go-between. You, Moses, you go and talk to God. He'll talk to you. You bring back his word to me. And by the way, there's still what we call ministerial mediation today. You know, the Roman Catholics have this mistake of the priest being a mediator between God and man. But the Reformed do still recognize mediation, but it's not of an atoning sort. It is a ministerial mediation. There's a sense in which the minister, the elders, teach the flock in the place of God, preaching especially, but also in teaching ministry. And so we have here a neat picture where the people are saying, okay, you go up there, you talk to God, they'll tell you what to do, you bring back the word to us, we'll do it. Now, being a little presumptuous perhaps, but in the next verse we'll see that God says they're right. I'm not upset about that. God doesn't say, what's wrong with those crazy nuts down there? They don't want to hear me directly. What's going on? Why do they want you up here, Moses, talking to me? And no. That's the way it was supposed to be. All about mediation from first to last. It's a joke for people to pretend that they can talk to God on their own. Take a Sunday stroll, stay out at church, go into the woods, pretend that they can have communion with God. They're communing with something, maybe, but not God, because he doesn't meet them there. Now, this little verse 27 is a perfect picture of our Lord Jesus, who comes from the Father's heart and communicates to us what God wants us to know. So here's Moses, a type of Christ, going up and then coming back down. What's unique about our Lord, though, compared to Moses, is that he not only hears and tells the Father's word to us, he also did the very things contained in the law. Not just the moral law, the Ten Commandments, but the ceremonial law that applied to all the sin nature of man that had to be dealt with in the Old Covenant. Jesus did that. He was born under the law, Galatians 4:4, for us. And kept all that law, too. Not that he needed to, he wasn't a sinner. And yet he takes that perfect obedience and imputes it to our account, a legal term meaning that it is now ours. Did the very things that we could never do. What a blessing. The words of the Israelites that they would hear and obey undoubtedly were rash, but they were in the presence of God in a certain sense, and they were endued with a perspective of his power available to them and the responsibility that was on them. One of the beautiful New Testament verses on Jesus' intercessory ministry is 1 John 2, 1b, which says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. What a beautiful verse. Jesus not only went near to God, as per verse 27, he also drew near to the grave for us and bore our sins, dying in our stead. The Lord's special grace is upon us, intercessory grace is with us. Finally, verse 28, the Lord's redemptive grace saves us. Then the Lord heard the voice of your words when you spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, I've heard the voice of the words of this people which they have spoken to you. They are right in all that they have spoken. Of course, obviously, God hears everything, knows everything. The people are speaking to Moses, and they're saying, hey, you got to be our mediator. You know, this is too much for us. It's too scary. Rightly so. But God's affirming that. He's saying, yes, they're right. That's good. They've learned something. They understand they need a mediator. It's a good thing. The reason the people were right in what they had spoken was because they recognized that they couldn't come to God on their own. The mediator would lead directly to their redemption. God would not only use Moses to confer the moral law to all people, but he would also use him or employ him to convey the laws of sacrifice that would provisionally mediate for sin until the ultimate Lamb of God, Jesus, would come and take away the sins of all the elect church from every nation, tribe, and people group, all the world in that sense. We need to view Jesus Christ's cross tonight as the great conduit between heaven and earth. Don't ever forget, dears, church is all about Jesus. Worship service, sacraments, sermons, everything is about bringing us to Jesus. We are to be united to him in his cross and resurrection. Can't have one without the other. If we suffer with him, we will also glory with him. And let us remember that as we go into the week before us. And not forget two principal points implicit in these verses. Jesus' blood pleads for us as a mediation, taking away our sins. Hebrews 10:19. And Jesus has a continuing intercession at the Father's right hand as we pray in his name. Do you understand that? That he is continually ministering in a special way. 1 Peter 3:22. Let us tonight, dears, again, go into this week with full confidence in our mediator. No confidence in ourselves. We have no righteousness, no justification, no goodness. Everything we have to offer God is found in Jesus alone. Let us bring him to every situation we face this week. The mediation of Christ, the glory of God drives us to him, and also the love of God. And that's enough. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this great text of Scripture. Moses, type of Christ, mediation, intercession, speaking to God, speaking to the people. Father, his face glowed. The people were amazed. They were afraid. And Father, we're reminded that we are petrified of you outside of Jesus. You're scary. Remember what Martin Luther felt before he knew that Jesus was not a judge but a mediator for sinners. He is a judge, but not just and only the judge. We thank you that our Savior has been so kind to us. Help us never lose sight. We're constantly engaged in the slippery slope of losing Jesus, losing sight of him. Help us, Father, cling to him this week by faith. This we pray in his holy name. Amen.